welcome to the Yes Live Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the integrative cancer care charity that helps people in the UK to learn about their choices from the broad field of integrative medicine. This week's show is a little bit different in that I'm playing roving reporter, going out to visit a new clinic that's only been operating for a few months and which I've been interested to see for myself. The Sanctura Clinic is in central London, and I'm speaking to the medical director, Dr. James LaPorta.
Hi, James. Thanks so much for welcoming me to the clinic.
It's good to have you here finally.
Yeah, well, I was thinking on the way in how great it is actually to be coming in for an in-person interview. Nearly everything happens on Zoom these days, which is great. I can talk to people wherever they are, but there's nothing like an in-person. So really nice to be doing this. So you've been here at Sanctura since the autumn, a new arrival in London, and but you've been operating in South Africa for, I think, 15 years?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, you know, what was it that made you thinking of upping sticks and setting out on a journey to the north?
it's a good question, and the north can be quite daunting for us down in Cape Town. As the clinic was evolving in Cape Town over the years, we were seeing an increasing amount of international patients coming through. And the kind of environment in London, doing some of the talks and lecturing around, I was really attracted to some of the clinics that we started working at. And I found myself on Harley Street, seeing quite a few patients. And the one thing that I found different in the UK that was unexpected was we can prescribe protocols, and patients are asking questions around treatments that they'd heard about, but they don't have access to it.
Right.
And when we do find different places, they're having to travel between 5 or 6 different clinics. And so I saw a real need.
I call it sort of DIY integrative medicine, where you have to be your own boss and put it together, program yourself, and move around from one place to another. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And of course, it's the best we can do, but it's not as good. It's having stuff under one roof with one eye on everything that's going on.
I mean, supporting agency and being captain of the ship is certainly a principle we promote, but having to manage a fleet of ships while you have cancer is tricky.
And, yeah.
And less simple it can be.
Yeah, well, you know, in terms of integrative medicine, as you've noticed, there's not enough here, basically. I call this backward Britain. So more is always great, but do you feel you brought something new here? You've already mentioned one thing, there was single roof for all the provision, but anything else that you brought here that we didn't already have?
Well, that's a really good question. I think maybe one of the strongest contributions before we get to new would be another cornerstone in UK for an evolving medicine that is truly representative of integrative. So there's what Sanctura stands for and what we've wanted to build is not being opposed to conventional oncology,
right?
Actually quite welcoming it and making it more accessible in some cases and helping with side effects and allowing the journey to be more resilient and better quality of life on it. And then giving a real humble understanding that we don't have all the answers. And there's a huge amount of complementary and sometimes labeled as alternative medicines. And patients need some assistance navigating through that.
They certainly do.
And then reverence to the spiritual aspect of the journey. And I think that bringing something relatively new where, again, under one roof is treatments, but the concept of integrating all of those and putting the patient first is something that is another cornerstone laid in UK integrative oncology, and definitely something more nuanced. And then, of course, the hypothermia treatments that have been difficult to access in the UK is good. Some of our unique protocols we've developed over 15 years. In Cape Town, we have a little bit more, shall we say, lax systems that can allow us to really pioneer evidence-based medicine and include a lot of different treatments. And what's been so wonderful is distilling 15 years of work and bringing the very best of what we found to UK. And it fits in perfectly with evidence-based integration. And there's certainly some new protocols and treatments we're offering.
Well, I want to talk to you about all of those in a minute. Great. So the other thing I'd like to just know a bit more about is that obviously the sort of backwardness in Britain is due to longstanding antipathy between conventional medicine and everybody else. Yeah. So do you feel you're going to be able to contribute in some way to building bridges?
So I go straight to the heart of it. I think that the power is being given more to the people, the patients, than to the medical fraternity who is stuck in backward thinking in some aspects. And it's hard to progress in medicine with safety and the way trials are done, and even just with the economics of medicine, having so many sick cancer patients. But the more empowered patients become, the more supportive oncologists become to their journey. And in that way, I'm finding bridges being built around the patient, not between practitioners.
Mm. Right.
And I think therein lies the possibility.
Well, that's very good, because we are talking about patient-centered medicine here. So that's a good development. Yeah, excellent. So, maybe we go on to talk a little bit about the therapies you're actually offering here. They're wide-ranging, I can tell. And maybe we just start at the physical end and move right through to the less tangible offerings.
So starting with the physical, being under one roof, having a place that can do, where appropriate, high-dose vitamin C alongside hypothermia, like some of those trials with lung cancers, or we know pancreatic cancer and chemotherapy, vitamin C has been shown to really improve survival and outcomes. And so responsibly doing high-dose vitamin C with good minerals and electrolytes to balance osmolarity, a really good medicine from a vitamin C perspective, is good integrative support. And then not having to go to another clinic, but from that going straight through to acupuncture that they might have on the side. They might have a hypothermia session during the vitamin C. They might be able to go for some counseling or neurofeedback. And so in one day, they're able to do those treatments. We've got a fancy hyperbaric oxygen that goes to 2.0 ATA. And again, not positioned as treating cancer, but certainly supporting patients feeling better, recovering from surgery, assisting with those deep pockets of hypoxic tumor microenvironments. So the benefit of supporting the terrain, supporting the person, and having it under one roof, I'd say high-dose vitamin C, the hyperbaric oxygen, some good botanical isolates that we know modulate immune systems and can reduce inflammation. I know paclitaxel as a chemotherapy combined with curcumin, for example, some really, really good studies out there. And so there's enough evidence to support that those treatments, especially if it's not taking away from quality of life where they happen to travel between many different clinics, is advantageous. The biggest game changer for us, or for what I've seen clinically, has been the electrohypothermia machine. Mm. So it's a EHY 2030 from Hungary, very expensive machine, unfortunately, but very sophisticated. And it sends a radio frequency field through certain aspects of the body that are able to heat up tumor cells selectively. That's because of the nuclear ratio to cytoplasm and the changes in the cell membrane and various other tumor activities. Much like a PET CT scan can detect activity, this sort of hones in on cancer cells. And when you heat up a cancer cell, you're dilating blood vessels, more perfusion, more oxygen. We know these tumors can be rubbery and cold. And you get more fever response, heat shock proteins, the right kind of interleukins, you get dendritic cell activation. And all of these therapies that I see showing a lot of success in research lately are actually pointing towards activity inside the tumor microenvironment. And if we can initiate a person's fever response within the tumor, it just makes so much sense that all of these things the body knows how to do and it activates. The research is showing potentially increased chemoperfusion, more oxygenation, so radio sensitization, but most of all, better quality of life, less inflammation, and more malleable, less hospitable tumors. So since we've been doing that, and since we've been allowing or working closely with oncology clinics, patients would go for chemo and immediately come here. If they're getting at-home chemo, if they're getting different infusions around the corner, or even sometimes Lloyd's at-home pharmacy gives chemo at the patient's residence. If they're traveling from overseas, they might say their residence is here and they would get chemotherapy.
Oh, actually get to here.
Yeah. Mm. And we had just yesterday, we had someone who flew in from Netherlands and they sitting down, they're getting their chemo from Lloyd's. They've got auricular acupuncture. They've got the hylotherm cooling device for their scalp and the peripheral neuropathy. We let them do that and then step back. Once the chemo part is finished, we come in, take them through to one of the treatments like hypothermia. They heat up the tumor. There's more chemo sensitivity, mixing sugar in cold water versus hot water. There's more dispersion or silt. And so so we've been seeing really good results. And then the patient might, once the chemo's washed out, we don't want to do vitamin C or any of the nutrient drips close to the chemo. So maybe 3 days later, they would come back, have hyperbaric oxygen, have a really good nutrient infusion, and maybe hyperbaric oxygen again, heat up that tumor again, prevent some of the repair mechanisms, stimulate that immune response. And one of the things that I like, especially with the nurses here that have been so well trained, many of them oncology nurses too, is the detail to the blood work that we do initially, and then the tracking of any deficiencies. So we don't like giving, I don't like giving lots of multivitamins as a naturopath, which is how I practice in UK. I don't like giving lots of supplements and vitamins just as a blanket approach. We like to see which deficiencies are present in patients and what we might need support or which areas might be low. We just target it. So very personalized, precise. And maybe to reiterate that point, certainly we don't give chemotherapy as a clinic, but we allow chemo at-home services to come through. We work very closely with a private oncology clinic, and we've started working very closely with a few of the NHS practices that know what we do and the patients. They even adjust their chemotherapy time to early in the morning.
And now you're talking. That's very exciting to hear, because that kind of collaboration, you know, just didn't happen. So, yeah, that's very interesting. So there's clearly some recognition that you're doing something to help here, which is, you know, the total frustration of knowing how much you can help patients, but a complete lack of recognition that there is anything that could help them. It's been totally frustrating. Yeah, very interesting. What you're saying about hypothermia, it's, you know, got a long tradition, it's a long history. It's kind of well-known, well-established, but it's, you've described a kind of latest tech version of hypothermia, you're using it, and it's something that works in so many different ways, and that's where it's exciting. It's, as you say, it's kind of got this fever element about it, which has been known about cancer again for a long time, but it's doing so much to support your own system to do the job, and it's a brilliant treatment. And I notice you're giving it right there with the chemo. It's not like belated or anything, but it's definitely something of giving to support the chemotherapy treatment that they're having.
Absolutely, and that's what the studies are showing. I think if you look at how long chemotherapy might be within the body that the oncology team is taking care of, when the person's coming through having received treatment, they're still under active treatment with the drug in their body. And so adding something as innocuous as focused locoregional hypothermia, there's benefit to that. I just want to pick up on the one word you use, supporting the body, which I really like. And maybe going back to the narrative around how do we see more integration between the specialities from integrative medicine to conventional oncology, it's around the positioning of this is supportive to what conventional is doing. And this is supportive to what the patient's wanting to achieve, quality of life, what the patient's wanting to research regarding different types of treatments. And I think respecting and not opposing traditional targeted immunotherapy, chemo, radiation, stereotactic, you know, TACE, all of the different treatments that are wonderful out there, has maybe allowed a more gentle entry, and having the patients more relaxed and not so distressed around moving and having to choose between multiple clinics has allowed them to go in looking better, feeling better, and getting good responses. You know, there's been a few oncology remarks saying, well, we think maybe the clinic you're going to has something to do with what we've seen. Right. And that's a start.
Yeah, definitely a start. Well, you know, it's a bit of a sort of guerrilla process, learning about who's where and what they're doing and moving around the country as people have been. Obviously, this gives you the feel of coming somewhere that's established, that has skills, knowledge, all the rest of it to bring to the table. But interesting, just coming back to you on what you were saying about the words supportive, naturopathic medicine, yeah, well, that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, that's how it actually sees restoring people to health, is supporting them to become well again. Now, treatment in oncology is kind of active intervention. That's what's going on there. It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it also has, it produces side effects and things that produce a further need for support. So you've not just got support needed for the disease, but also for all the side effects. So it is complete common sense. But unfortunately, that doesn't cut much ice, generally, the common sense side. But the two together is such a magic combination. And you're right that not demonizing either side and just saying, well, what has both sides got to offer? Well, that is patient-centered medicine, because the patient is standing in the middle, looking around at what could help them stay well, stay alive. And of course, they shouldn't have to just look one way or the other. No. They should be able to look all around and choose what they need to help them in every way.
Such a difference between surviving and thriving. You know, cancer patients on chemo can look healthy and well. That's quite something.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Robin, just on that element of how we're treating the whole person and not just the disease. So from naturopathy, absolutely, we're looking at the elements around that. But one of the analogies that's maybe worth sharing on this podcast, which I use with patients very regularly, I'm more into rugby being back from South Africa, but rugby and soccer's big here. If you've got a soccer team, you need good strikers in the front who can score goals. If you don't have a striker, you can't score goals and win a match. But you can't have strikers without good midfield, good defenders, and a really good goalkeeper. And so a lot of patients are going out there with excellent midfielders and defenders, and they're not scoring any goals or winning any matches. Others are going out there with strikers who might score a few goals, kill a few tumors here and there, but their body collapses. And so it really isn't just the concept of different modalities. I think it's an essential part of one's whole infrastructure and team that's going to win matches and heal.
Yeah, it makes complete sense because the the other aspect of integrated medicine is it does look at the whole person as well. It looks at all the aspects. Perhaps you want to say a little bit about your thinking on the psychological, emotional, spiritual side of things, how it plays in.
I was always fascinated when, medically trained back in South Africa, naturopath in UK, but during the medical training, they would say, you know, this treatment would have this much percentage effect. And if you added two treatments together, you would increase the effect. And I'd say, well, what's the placebo effect? They go, well, placebo effect is when people believe in something, but they don't take anything. It's nonsense. But it improves them by 30 to 40%. So what happens if you add placebo onto the drugs you're taking? Surely you can double what the drug's doing. And, you know, there's some muttering and there's some really interesting research around that now too.
Yeah, I know.
And when we have a patient who comes in that's it's like clockwork. They come in, they're afraid, they're hesitant to do chemotherapy, they feel like they're torn between two worlds. Mm-hmm. The minute they get that chemotherapy, their side effects are worse. They're trying to have an intense diet that is starving them of nutrients, and they're trying to treat cancer to get some certainty in a world of uncertainty, and they're grasping at everything. And that person has a completely dysregulated immune system, dysregulated nervous system. Their gut microbiome has nothing to do with bacteria or antibiotics. It has to do with the whole stress, humoral and immune response relating to that vagus nerve and how the gut is going to function. So your gut microbiome is completely out. That stressed, asphyxiated, distressed state is a tumor-promoting state. And when someone comes in confident and says, I want that chemo because that's what the oncologist says, it's going to work. I'm going to choose this to help me out, and I'm going to nourish my body. And I'm going to look deeper what's knocked at the door as an opportunity for healing. And you see patients do that from the start. Their course of treatment is so profoundly different, so profoundly.
Yeah, well, very understandably so. I mean, you know, the first description was of a fear-based response, basically. And you're not in the right place to make good decisions when you're terrified, basically. You're going to do knee-jerk responses. You're not really in yourself. You're not really tuned into your needs or anything else. So, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And these things, as we mentioned earlier on, they're kind of moving from being seen as add-ons on the side or the psychological emotional stuff, nice to haves, to actually being foundational to a good recovery. But without those in place, you're maybe heading for disaster. So I really like that change of emphasis, because with it comes in the idea that a big part of medicine is all those things. It's not just about the practical stuff.
Absolutely. The if we can spend a little more time on this, there's some discussion points I'd like to unpack. Just I'm enjoying the discussion so much. Again, it's not one or the other. So the more one focuses on the human experience we have, both through wellness and disease, it shapes our entire psychoneuroimmunology, like you say, and the change between hope, which is a choice, not a statistic, and between a fear-based response or an empowered agency, a positive outlook. We know how much that influences. The more people do work on themselves on that aspect, it's almost the more or reduced the practicalities of treatment become, but yet they are so instrumental. It's like having a bolt that's not tightened on a car, it's going to come loose. And so those practicalities, I always use the example of if you've broken a bone and it's sticking out your skin, no matter how much emotional processing you do and how many herbal supplements you take, you need that bone fixed and you need to look after it and prevent infection. By the time cancer cells have formed and have created their own microenvironment of stubbornness and beautifully engineered growth patterns, you need hard intervention from a physical 3D biochemical interface. And so that medicine is a bridge to a healthier state, but the responsibility lies with how do I change what initially was the environment that allowed cancer to grow. I've noticed themes of each cancer, Robin, which is very, very fascinating.
Okay.
Every hand on heart, every prostate cancer has exactly the same personality, every breast cancer, every colorectal cancer. And not saying that causes the cancer.
No.
Just the same diet.
And when you say exactly the same personality, what kind of traits are you talking about?
So a breast cancer patient, often very nice, but likes to please, can be very empowered, but when overpowered by even medical authority, becomes disempowered, shall we say. And the phrase that I love when a breast cancer patient sits opposite me and says, I've realized making myself smaller so that other people can be happier is not the definition of kindness. And, you know, any breast cancer patient listening will really resonate with that. That's a theme underlying. There tends to be a history of some punitive parenting from the one side and the other parent being quite soft and open-hearted, but a bit overall. So there's these patterns that emerge. Prostate cancer is an example. I really enjoy working with prostate cancer. We know that they're going to have a good consult, but they want a form of exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
And we can time it. 36 hours to 48 hours will be the response. every single time. Their personality is categorized and to the point, and their gender, and that's what they need in, you know, in the system. Colorectal cancer patients, I mean, just now that we're on the theme, have a very driven, very type A, often quite successful, able to make choices for those around them very quickly. But when it comes to making choices for their own health, they find it incredibly difficult.
Mm. Interesting.
And to make themselves the most important person in the room is a real challenge for them. So anyway, we talk lots about
very
that.
Interesting. Well, you know, you're not the first person to speak about that kind of thing, and but it's just interesting you're passing on your experience of actually meeting people. It's not just a book. So yeah, really interesting stuff, and it does all point towards how important and key some of these things are in having got people to the situation they're in, and therefore what they need to address in order to get out.
What's that one beautiful book, The Body Keeps the Score?
Yeah.
You know, and where the cancer grows, there's often an emotional conglomerate that is well worth releasing. And just to reemphasize, seeing so many patients go down the path of finding not just general psychological wounding, but related emotional conglomerates that are stuck. We say cancer grows, but you are not. So when you return to the parts of our body with a psyche that can change the meaning of the experience once had, we can free that energetic pattern. But that doesn't mean the cancer goes away. And that's where the integration comes in.
Yeah. 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 Well, it certainly opens a lot of doors. I've heard it from so many people, either practitioners or people with cancer themselves, that it's the stone they hadn't lifted.
Yeah.
And then it made such a difference when they did. So, yeah, fascinating. Well, what an interesting talk, James. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Robert.
And
talk for days, I like
yes,
it.
And absolutely, yeah. And thanks for inviting me up, yeah.
Absolutely. I'd love to take you around the clinic and just show you.
I would love to look around. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jim.
Here we go. Thank you, Rob.
Okay, so where are we going first?
Hello. So this is one of the rooms where patients, either they've seen a GMC doctor or they've seen one of our nurse practitioners who prescribe either some vitamin replenishment or some high-dose vitamin C. Many patients, in their week off chemo, they come for a nice rehydration vitamin boost.
Okay.
There's some hydrogen inhalation therapy around here and then one or two other gadgets.
Right, so this is a nice, big, open, airy space. You can actually see out across to the street. Very nice. So it's quite a relaxed place to just sit and replenish, get your stores back again.
And so interesting, because I'll show you just now the more private locations, but
okay.
Patients enjoy community. One would think their vulnerability would be guarded, but they really enjoy the community of sitting around getting treated.
That's so good to hear. I mean, you know, community, as we're learning, of course, is a massive part of finding a way out of cancer. We're actually doing more and more group work, I guess, like because of that thing. So this is for a little bit more privacy up here. We've moved up towards the back of the building.
And this has got a hydrogen inhalation. We've got some transcranial photobiomodulation.
That was a very long name, that was, just translate into English, maybe, James?
Laser helmet. That has an infrared through the brain and actually has been shown to reduce neuroinflammation and can help a lot of people with chemo fog brain. And we're looking into it, and there's some research emerging. It's innocuous, doesn't hurt, as long as there's no metastasis in the brain. That's very, very safe, and we find patients feel a lot brighter, clearer. They don't have that kind of fog associated.
Yeah. So this is all in aid of reducing symptoms, of calming the whole system down after the attack from chemo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Rob, when you get very advanced cases that come through, that, you know, we're their last port of call, and what we'll do initially is, and that's why we've got these two beds here, we'll maybe give them some good rehydration, some vitamins, and then speak them through, get them to see another oncologist so that they're really happy they've got all the opinions. And working with Professor Stebbing's been great. He often comes through and does some ward rounds and sees patients, you know.
Right, so having your own oncologist in-house, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just giving them and the family time to feel a bit better for a few weeks and then come to terms with what's happening without it being rushed or just sent home. And so often we say, look, we don't think treating this is out of desperation, this is not the point. And can we die well, and can we do it with dignity and with the family involved, and can we help you feel a lot better during your time? It so happens that a lot of the patients, when they do feel better, they become eligible maybe for a short trial of chemo. And with all the integrative support we do, we just find their tumor markers dropping, their liver functions improving, they become better and better, their chemotherapy starts becoming higher in dose from the oncology sector. And we've had 6 people stage 4 now, complete remission in the last 4 months.
Fantastic. I hope news of this stuff is getting into oncology. That I saw a statistic that around 3/4 of people with cancer now looking outside the box or what can help them. It is heartening to me because, of course, there's so much that can help them, and particularly stage 4 cancer patients who are, you know, being told to put their affairs in order. They're just not really accepting that and thinking, well, come on, there must be something I can do. And of course, more and more are finding that there is something they can do. And actually, they're still way a lot after their sell-by date.
No, there's so much we don't know. And again, giving patients that agency to help curate their own journey when we don't have the answers, that's the best we can do. And maybe even more reason why I think that the conventional mainstream medicine, oncology specialities should be more curious around what's going on, because patients don't know, and they may also go down desperation pathways or treatments that can hurt rather than heal, and they're a vulnerable population.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Onward. Moving on to our private sort of family suite, and it's got everything. So the patient's coming in for a full day of treatment. They have access to whether they've got meetings that they need to do, or they want to watch something, or the family wants to join them. Often they order lunch in and they can sit through. And so they have their IVs, their auricular acupuncture, and hydrogen inhalation, some photobiomodulation, maybe some hylotherm devices if they're getting certain treatments. And then that's just a nice base for them to come. For some of the more people who need a bit more privacy, or some very distinguished members in society need a private space. And so we make sure that they quickly get escorted through to the private suite, and then they can get their treatments here, which is interesting because a lot of patients actually avoid trying to, they find it difficult to get that comprehensive care, and they often have home services providing it.
Yeah.
But you're also not always sure of the quality of that, especially in the early stages and the frailty. So having a place that's dedicated to make one feel stronger, you know, after we often do a month or two of maybe more intensive treatment, and then send them back home, and they can go into a different kind of maintenance type support treatment.
Yeah. Well supervised. Okay.
So, Robin, downstairs is the hypothermia, hyperbaric oxygen room. We moved past the pharmacy over there that has some of the vitamin supplements and natural medicine remedies. 2 consulting rooms. We went for extra lengths to make sure that they're quiet and soundproof and give that kind of calm feel. And you can see the waiting room, the waterfall that took a full year to get here.
This is it. From where?
From here, I ordered it. Things take long, but
amazing.
The environment, when one walks in, you want the great length to have a patient who often we see them walk outside a little bit stressed. You know, they find the place, they walk through the door, and there's always this first sigh before they sit down, and that's exactly the space we want people to feel in as they start. But they did.
Yeah. Okay, down into the...
Also not easy to find a place that's got wide staircases. Took a long time.
Yes. Especially trying to help people up and down, yeah?
And also to not feel psychologically sort of cramped or restricted.
Right.
Okay. So here we have one of the electrohypothermia devices.
Mm-hmm.
I think the patient's okay for us just to look from here. And so we have a to project onto the screen, and they can either watch a nice meditation
on the ceiling, yeah,
right. Ceiling, or I can watch one of the movies or an inspirational quote or a YouTube from someone. So yeah. Very often we ask them to either visualize, meditate, or just watch something uplifting. You turn the machine on, and as you can see over here, it's kind of the
right now, if we were to take a fluorescent from the lights and we put it close to the patient, big yourself, and we had a fluorescent light bulb and brought it close to the patient, it lights up. So there's a real electromagnetic field here tomorrow and heating up the tumors inside. No heat going through the body. Are you quite comfortable?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes a little envious of lying there and getting like a dress for. So this is anywhere from 60 minutes if it's a small location, or 90 minutes if it's bulbous or lining.
So it has a kind of dex control, so you can actually target the how deep into the body the heat's applied.
It's almost like a conductor. If you stick a metal rod up into, you know, lightning, a thunderstorm, or if you put a piece of iron into an electromagnetic field, there's a certain reaction that happens to the tumor. So the whole field goes through the body into this device and then back up again. So it's an alternating field that gets modulated. And as it moves through preferentially those tumor and the lipid graft membranes, we get heating up just the tumor cells, but not normal.
Yeah. If you sweat, or if there's an abnormal skin lesion,
very often we see that blister in the first day or two, then we need to just be careful of that. But outside of that, it is
very little side effects, and it's a supportive load man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that's one of our storage rooms. This is my favorite room to the right, Dan.
Okay.
So this is when we have a breath work events, group classes, or one-on-one.
Nice, big space, yeah. So beautiful. I'm surprised to find a huge room down here.
There's a business behind the practice, and from a board level, when they look at prime real estate like this,
yeah, right.
So this needs to be generating, and this is the heart of the practice. So when people come here, they have deep breath work, emotional release. They might have some group talks around psychology or lifestyle or fitness programs. Yeah. They can do various exercises. Some of them used to do Qigong when they were down here. And so centering this and allowing the sanctuary to feel like a sanctuary, this is required. So I'm so glad we preserved this.
Yeah, it's excellent. And of course, it does support the whole group approach, which is so brilliant. I mean, you know, it's so great for people to meet other people who are having to deal with and face the same issues. That is medicine.
And the space needs to be just right. Can't be too busy or on chairs. We like that. And then here's one of another hypothermia machine over there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, no, there's no patient there. They're on their way through. And again, the music, the setting, it, and the nurses are so fortunate to have found the kind of professional nurses we have with their skills at both IV, their skills at hypothermia, they've been through the training, and I just never really lucky with all the nurses.
Right. In flashing lights are the there, there's photobiomodulation.
Okay, so...
We won't get in there.
No. We can see red flashing lights coming through the door, around the door.
And very specific, your photobiomodulation as a double-edged sword. Dangerous to be doing red light laser therapy over tumors, I believe. It reduces inflammation, but it can stimulate mitochondrial growth, growth factor release, repair mechanisms, and VEGF-REF, which is not what we want for tumors. So very selective in terms of who goes there and how we use that.
Right. Okay. And here's your hyperbaric. Right. Okay. So, a beauty. Yeah.
What we love about this is two chairs.
So yeah, and they're a friend, right?
Yes. And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, I bet.
We can't say no to, you know.
Yeah, that's very good.
And then there's also a TV that they can watch something inspirational, or a lot of them just close their eyes and go through. We have a good tight-fitting oxygen mask.
Yeah.
And 100% oxygen goes down to 2.0 ATA, and beautiful.
Amazing.
Really nice to have something a bit more spacious and not claustrophobic.
Absolutely, that is an issue with all the smaller ones, isn't it? I've done both. I've been in one of those monster ones, and also in a single-person one. But,
And then just a channel down through to male and female toilets in there.
Yeah.
And right at the end of the passage, you can see that black bucket. That's my personal ice bath. So I go before I get to...
You're one of those sort of people. Right, okay.
Great, sorry.
I'm not.
Yeah, we'll move away from
that's the worst possible scenario for me. So, well, that's fantastic. Yeah, beautiful premises. Obviously, extremely well kitted out with some marvellous tech and some very nice spaces and a lot of supportive treatment. So,
and most importantly, wonderful people, everybody working here, making this dream come true. Traveling between Cape Town and South Africa is always a concern, not being here some of the weeks. But I am so proud of the team that supports us.
Yeah. Do you want to just run down the practitioners and people who are in the team?
So we've got four wonderful nurses and two locum nurses that come through to help out for... We need to open up Saturday mornings very often for patients. And then they'll do different shifts. We've got our two wonderful receptionists in the front. One's actually a doctor trained in China, and the other one is just brilliant at hospitality and understanding. And so they're the front of house. Welcome the patients through, and we've got a care coordinator who's an integrative oncology nurse specialist. That's Maria Vega. Absolutely brilliant.
Maria is fantastic. Yes,
I am. Interest, and yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have absolutely better. Quite nice tech support, so we're really integrating safely system flows and agentic AI to try and help how we can improve efficiency and communication and patient empowerment. So that's a really interesting field that we're going on behind the scenes. We have a few neurofeedback practitioners here. We have a breathwork practitioner, Professor Justin Stedding, that comes through. We've got some GMC doctors that visit from time to time to have consults. And that's the more permanent cohort.
Right.
Yeah.
Quite a team.
It's a good team.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, look, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, James. And that's what I was saying. I don't get out enough. It's really nice to come out and meet people, see what's happening on the ground here, for real. And, I can see this is a step for Britain. It's something new. And I love the fact it's right here in the heart of town. It's a statement.
And Robin, you might not know this, but you were quite instrumental in the final decision of coming here. We would have those meetings and I told you the ideas and I was looking for beer. I had it, and you warmly welcomed and inspired me, and there were a few networks that you helped me out with, and I think without that there would have been maybe more reservation. I'm so glad to have made the move. We had prime real estate as a breathwork, but we also have a gong, which is another thing, which I'd like to just get a small little gong at the end of
entry. Yeah, right.
And at a patients who have achieved complete radiological or serological remission come in and have a good
bang. Do they? All right.
Everyone loves the sound. And also at the end of the day, if I'm last to leave, good gong, and it just cleans the emotional stagnancy that might be there.
Right. Okay. So,
do you want to have a go at the gong?
No, you're going to do it. You're the expert, right? So it's right in the show. What a machine.
Thank you so much, Rob.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Some heartening news there from Dr. Laporta, particularly regarding the first shoots of collaboration emerging with mainstream oncology. You can find out more about Sanctura Clinic at sancturalife.com. The first of our two Yes to Life annual conferences is drawing near. It's on May the 16th, online, and the title for both events is Reclaiming Our True Nature, What Science is Telling Us About the Impact of Psychological, Emotional and Spiritual Factors on Survivorship. It's an enormously exciting topic. This is a rapidly developing field that's gaining more and more attention, and we have an extraordinary lineup of experts for you. The program's been developed with Dr. Sam Watts, who will be setting the scene for the day. And we have presentations by psychologist Dr. Alexandra Turner. Professor Paul Dieppe and Liz Butner will be co-presenting about the essence of healing. We'll hear from cancer coaches Shelley Clark, Catherine Schopfer and Emily Kickleiter. From Dean Ornish's Director of Research, Dr. Larry Sherwitz. From Denise Stevenson of Double Zero. From yoga and mindfulness experts Lisa Morris and Heather Mason. And from podcaster and health activist Raj Jana. And all that is just the online conference. Find out more about both the online and the in-person event, and get yourself booked in at conference.yestolife.org.uk. I'll be back again next week with another expert guest to introduce to you, so I hope you'll be able to join me again for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.